Good morning. Can I help you?
Mr. George, please. Room 8, I think it is.
That's right, dear. You'd be Mr...
William.
Just a minute.
I am expected.
Oh, yes, here we are. William. Funny.
What is?
Well, the way you've all got Christian names for surnames.
Well, that's because we're all Welsh, say.
Are you?
Oh, yes. Valleys are full of Billy Williams and Evan Evans and the like.
Really?
Oh, yes. We've got whole rugby teams where everyone's got the same name.
Go on. How do they know who they're talking to?
Search me, but it don't half confuse the opposition. Top floor, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll let him know you're here.
Come in, Peter.
Hi.
You know Mendel, don't you?
Yes, of course.
Hello again.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for coming so promptly, Peter. Do sit down.
Thanks.
I'll fix you a drink. Scotch, isn't it?
Please, with water.
Right.
Well, George?
Peter, I think it's time to reopen the Prideau file.
Prideau? How the hell does Prideau tie in with Ricky Tarr?
He doesn't, but he might well tie in with Mole Gerald.
Ah.
So we'd like to reopen the file. However, we seem to have one small problem.
What sort of problem? Hey, not so heavy with the scotch.
Come on, you can manage this.
You're not setting me up for something, are you, George?
As I was saying, Peter, we've come up against a snag with the Prideau file. I had hoped Oliver Lakin would have something to show, but he phoned a little while ago. He has nothing on file about the Prideau affair.
I'm not surprised. All the papers will have been consigned to a dead file in Circus Registry by now.
That's what I thought. We've got to get hold of that file, Peter.
What he means is that he wants you to steal it.
You're joking.
He's not.
George, they cut your hands off for that sort of thing.
Come on, drink up.
It won't help.
But it'll make the pain more bearable, won't it?
Huh. Thanks. Okay, George. How do I go about stealing this file? I'm sure you've got it all worked out.
I think so, more or less. Your first move is to dream up some excuse to get into registry.
Well, that's no problem. I can say I need to dig out an old case history.
Good.
You'll need to make a preliminary recce, Peter.
To find out which shelf the Prideau file is kept on.
Well, I should think it's still under its original title. Operation Testify.
So all you want is the shelf number.
I can find that out by the morning.
When you go back the next time...
You're going to pinch it.
Thanks.
Take your briefcase with you, with a dummy file, with the Testify heading and shelf reference.
Anything in the dummy?
A few blank sheets for appearance's sake. And you'll need a notepad in your briefcase and your address book. You leave the briefcase with the guard.
I'd have to do that anyway, security rules.
Yes, of course.
Right, then go into registry and draw a file. Any old file, as long as it's located near the Testify shelf, right?
Uh-huh.
Then you just swap it with the Testify file.
You take the Testify file back to your table and work on it there.
Then I phone you.
You'll phone me.
Why not? I'm your friendly neighborhood car mechanic, aren't I? With urgent bad news about your lovely little MG.
We've worked this out very carefully, Peter. They haven't put a phone in registry, have they?
No. It's the same as in your day, George. All calls go through to security at the entrance.
Good. So if Mendel here phones at a prearranged time, the guard will come in to fetch you.
Almost certainly.
And what would you normally do in that case?
I'd follow him out to the phone.
With the file in your hand?
Normally, yes. You never leave a file unattended.
And that's exactly what you should do when Mendel rings.
You go out to the phone with the Testify file in your hand, and I'll give you the bad news about your car. A broken half shaft, perhaps. Anyway, something you'd only get from the main dealer. Then you ask the guard...
It is still Alwyn, isn't it?
Usually.
You ask him to hand you your briefcase. Take out your address book. Give me the number of your main MG dealer.
The real number?
Oh, yes. And as soon as this Alwyn fellow goes back to his desk, simply swap the Testify file with the dummy in the briefcase.
So the real Testify file is in the briefcase, which I hand back to the guard.
That's it.
And I take the dummy back into registry. Yes, it should work.
You'll have to get all the files back into their original places, of course.
Of course.
It's a piece of cake.
Yes?
Peter Gillen for registry.
Hang on. Hello, Mr. Gillen. Back again, are we?
Yes, Allman. Turning into a proper little bookworm, aren't I?
Sign yourself in, if you please.
Yeah, thanks. We'll see.
Get on. How many registrations?
Two, please. Thanks. 2884 3133. Thanks.
D corridor. The 2/8s are halfway down on the right, and the 3/1s in the next alcove after that.
Great.
And don't forget to hand the counterfoils in when you leave.
Will do. 3/1s, next alcove. 3/1, 3/3. Yes, nice pink file. Now, where's testify? Ah, pink for pink. And I'm in... What the devil are you doing?
The radiators aren't working.
Neither's anyone else with that row going on.
I'm sorry if I disturbed you.
It's all right.
I mean, I was told that this would be the best time to do
yes, it. Yes, all right. Yeah, not your fault.
Would you like a cup of coffee, Peter?
Good idea. Sorry, Sal, I got wasted a little last night. The brain can't take sharp metallic intrusions.
And I always thought you were a clean, living country boy.
I am.
Milk and sugar.
Please. Oh, and have you got the Warsaw telephone directory?
They're up this end now. Bottom shelf, right-hand side.
Registry door, Owen speaking.
Oh, is Mr. Gillam there, please?
He's busy at the moment.
Well, he gave me your number. Said to ring him if it was urgent.
Very well. I'll fetch him. Who shall I say's calling?
Tell him it's Bert from the garage.
Hang on a minute.
Mr. Gillam.
Mm-hmm.
Phone for you.
Oh, damn.
Sorry, they said it was urgent.
Who is it, did they say?
Bert someone or other from the garage.
Oh, Lord. That sounds ominous. Hello. Gillam here.
Hello, Mr. Gillam. It's Bert from the garage.
Oh, yes, Bert. What's the problem?
Bad news, Mr. Gillam, I'm afraid. The half shaft's gone.
Oh, no. How long's that going to take, then?
Well, that depends on how long it takes to get a new one, doesn't it?
Haven't you got one in stock, for God's sake?
Right, not, Mr. Gillam. We'll have to get on to the main dealer, see if he's got one.
Wait a minute. I can give you the number of the manager's direct line. Charlie Pearson, he's a mate of mine. He'll pull the strings if he has to. Just a minute. Owen, chuck that briefcase over here a minute.
Right away. Here you are, sir.
Thanks.
Want me to open it for you?
No. You might set the alarm off.
I hadn't thought of that.
Just bang it on the shelf here. Ta.
I hope you get it sorted out, Mr. Gillam.
I'd better. Won't keep you a minute, Bert.
Okay.
Pearson. Got a pencil, Bert?
Yeah, shoot.
Charlie Pearson, 9470563. Got it?
9470563.
That's it. And tell him I'm desperate.
I'll get back to you as soon as I know the worst.
I'd be grateful, Bertie, only I'd need the car this weekend.
I'll do what I can, okay?
Yes, thanks. Bloody motor mechanics, they're all the same.
Tell me.
Here, you'd better put this back.
Ah, Peter.
Oh, Toby.
I phoned Brixton. They said you were here.
What can I do for you, Tobe?
For me, nothing. But Percy wants to see you.
What now?
Immediately. We have a tiny crisis, actually, and Percy wants your opinion.
Oh, one of those. Hang on a minute. Alwyn, would you put my briefcase on the next shuttle to Brixton?
Certainly, sir.
Mark it for my attention.
Will do. What about the file? Want me to take it back into register?
No, thank you. I'll put it back myself.
Let Oirin do it, Peter. Percy's waiting.
You'll have to wait a bit longer. Sally told me to put everything back where I found it. And she's a black belt judoka, isn't she?
I found him, Percy. He was downstairs.
Well, bring him in, then.
Sure, Percy. Come in, Peter.
Thanks.
Find yourself a chair, Peter Gillam.
Thank you.
No. Right here, where I can see you.
Okay. Is this better?
Hmm.
We're just waiting for Roy and Bill, actually, Peter. They're on their way.
Hey, what's all this in aid of, then?
Just bear yourself in patience.
Sorry.
Ah, here they are.
Ah, you found him, Toby.
Oh, yes.
I was right under your nose all the time, Roy. You should have told me you were looking for me.
We tried to. Peter, what are you up to these days?
Not a lot. A couple of Arab ploys that might be promising. Cy Van Hoffer may have a lead to a German diplomat. That's about it.
No news of Ricky Tarr, I suppose.
Ricky Tarr?
He's your man, isn't he?
Yes. So what?
Well, how is he these days?
I've no idea. I haven't seen him. You know that.
Do I?
What's that supposed to mean?
Peter Gillam, have you or have you not been in contact with Ricky Tarr?
Oh, sure. We have tea together at the Ritz most afternoons.
Don't try to be smart with me, Peter. I'm talking to you about a defector from your own section. I'm accusing you of consorting with him behind my back, of playing damn fool parlour games when you don't understand how much is at stake.
Look, Percy, I haven't seen Tarr. I haven't laid eyes on him since I sent him on some damn fool errand to Hong Kong. So if anyone's playing parlour games, it's you, so get off my back.
Ricky Tarr has a daughter, hasn't he, Peter?
Mm-hmm. Seems very attached to her, too.
Does she have a name?
Danielle, but Tarr calls her Danny.
What about the mother?
She's Eurasian, that's all I know.
Unmistakably Eurasian, or could she pass for something nearer home?
I've never seen her, but Tarr seemed to think she looked full European. Danny, too, for that matter.
12 years old, long blonde hair, brown eyes, slim build, is that her?
It could be.
Danny and her mother were due to arrive 3 days ago at London Airport on a direct flight from Singapore.
So, what's happened to them?
Delayed, missed their plane, changed their minds. How the hell should I know?
Well, perhaps your information is wrong.
It isn't.
The source is extremely secret, Peter. It may sound like ordinary flight information, but it isn't.
It's ultra sensitive, actually.
Well, in that case, I'll keep my mouth ultra shut, Toby.
So, what do you make of this information, Peter? Why is Tarr coming to England?
Sorry, I thought you said it was Danny and her mother who were coming to England.
Doesn't it occur to you that where little Danny is, Tarr will not be far behind?
Until now, it did not occur to me, no. Until now, Tarr was a defector, right? He was supposed to be sitting in Moscow talking his head off, right? So what's he meant to be doing now? Redefecting to us?
Redefecting would be a damn charitable way of putting it.
Listen, Peter. Danny and her mother are travelling on fake British passports in the name of Poole, like the harbour.
Tarr's got one too. The well-known Mr. Poole.
That doesn't mean Tarr's in England.
He's already here, Peter.
Huh?
But we don't know where, actually.
Our information is that he left ahead of Danny and her mother, travelling by a secret route.
All right. The Russians have turned Tarr around. They've sent his family over instead of keeping them in the bank. They've sent Tarr over too, knowing that we won't believe a word he says. And suddenly, we're all going to be murdered in our beds. Oh, come on, I think it's time someone told me what the hell's going on.
Never you mind what's going on.
Peter, this really is more important than you can know. The first sniff you get of Tarr or his lady love or his little daughter, you come to one of us. One of us four here.
And no one else. Not another damn soul.
I get the message.
Good. As long as we understand each other. Roy?
Yes. For you, Peter, if you wouldn't mind.
What's this? Oh, you need a signature.
Please. On the dotted line, or thereabouts.
Okay. I certify that I've been advised of the contents of witchcraft report number 308. Source Merlin. Witchcraft? Merlin? What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Never you mind what it means. Just sign it. And keep your mouth shut.
Morning, Mr. Mendel. You're up and about nice and early.
Old age, Mrs. G. Can't sleep the way I used to. I can't do anything the way I used to.
Oh, go on. You're not that ancient.
Says who? Mr. George, up yet?
Oh, yes. He had his breakfast over an hour ago.
I'll be up to dawn then.
Mr. Mendel?
Yeah?
Everything to your satisfaction, is it? I mean, we're doing everything just the way you wanted it.
Yeah, of course. Why?
Well, I think I'm due a little financial adjustment, shall we say, for the room.
Oh, yeah, all right. I'll sort it out at the end of the week, okay?
I'll make out a little bill for you then.
Come in.
I've got something for you. A testify file.
Ah.
Duly nicked from the circus by one Peter Gillam.
How did it go? Any problems?
Smooth as silk, apparently. At least, until he put the phone down on me.
Oh?
He found himself face to face with someone he called Tiny Toby.
Toby Esterhazy.
Peter'd finished the swap, thank God.
Oh, that's a relief. What did Toby want with him?
Well, he dragged her into an ear-bashing session with a boss man,
Percy Allerline?
Yeah, right. Apparently, he knows Ricky Tarr's in England.
What?
Well, they suspect he's in England.
I wonder how on earth they got onto that.
Something to do with Merlin. Witchcraft, Peter said.
Good Lord.
Anyway, Peter wants a crash meeting with you. He'll phone through, well, could be any time now.
Why?
Well, he wants an eyeball-to-eyeball with Ricky Tarr. Hopping mad he was, I can tell you.
With Ricky?
Yeah. The bastard was lying about his passports. According to Allerline, Tarr, his wife, or whatever she is, and kid daughter Danny, are travelling to this country on fake British passports in the name of Poole.
That was the name on the passport Ricky showed me. Yes, it is a fake. But how would Percy Allerline know that?
I think that's what's worrying Peter. Well, that'll be enough.
Yes, Mr. George speaking.
Has Mendel spoken to you yet?
Yes, just.
I think we should talk to our mutual friend.
Yes, it's something we must clear up before we do anything else.
I'll pick you up, shall I?
Please. Shall we say it's 3 o'clock?
Fine by me. Where?
Paddington Station.
Okay.
If you drive in, down the side to the taxi drop-off point, I'll be waiting for you there.
The drop-off point at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
See you then.
Right on time, Peter.
Again?
As far as I'm aware, but keep your eye on the mirror.
Don't worry. Mendel told you about Tarr.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody fool could have blown our whole operation.
Yes. Tell me about witchcraft and Source Merlin.
They were just names on a piece of paper which Roy Bland made me sign at the end of the meeting with Percy.
How was it worded, this piece of paper?
Read like the Official Secrets Act. You know, I certify that I have been advised of the contents of witchcraft. Report number 308, Source Merlin.
And then?
The usual rhubarb.
What was it exactly that they had advised you of?
Nothing. Except the flight information about Tarr's family. Seems so bloody trivial.
But it isn't, Peter. Don't you see? It means that their information comes direct from Moscow.
I'm sorry, George. I don't follow.
Merlin is Percy's highly confidential source in Moscow. Witchcraft is the code name for the material he or she supplies to Percy. It's practically the whole basis on which Percy has built his reputation.
No wonder Percy told me to keep my mouth shut. George?
Hmm?
Doesn't this open a whole new can of worms?
I've been asking myself the same question.
How much further, George?
We're nearly there. I think we want the next turning on the left, Peter. Yes, yes, this one coming up.
Ah, got it.
There, that's the house up ahead.
Not bad. Whose house is it?
Ailsa Brimley's.
Good Lord, that's a name out of legend.
Did you ever meet her?
Before my time.
Brim was Jebedee's right hand during the war when she was young enough to be his daughter. Though there were some who maintained that she was something else.
Was she?
I never asked. Come on. There's Brim at the door.
I can see how the rumour started.
Oh, yes. There was always a lot more to her than that, believe me. Hello, Brim.
Hello, George. Nice to see you again.
You don't know Peter Gillam, do you?
Oh, by reputation. I rather think I'd left by the time they brought you in from the cold.
Nice to meet you, Miss Brimley.
Call me Brim. Everybody else does. Well, come in. Come in.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Brim. I hope all is well. Your guests behaving themselves?
No trouble at all, George. They've been very good, playing cards most of the time.
And Tarr hasn't been out alone.
Oh, dear me, no. I don't think Fawn would countenance that.
He hasn't tried to phone out?
Not as far as I'm aware. Fawn has a very steadying effect on Mr. Tarr.
He has the same effect at Brixton. The others are very wary of him.
He seems such a gentle sort of fellow.
I think that only makes it worse.
Can I get you something to drink? Or to eat, perhaps?
No, thanks, Brim, really. We've got some pretty urgent questions we need answers to, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course. You know where he is, upstairs, the last door on the right.
Who the hell's that?
Who is it?
It's me, George Smiley. May I come in?
Just a minute, Mr. Smiley.
Hello, Fawn.
Hello, Mr. Smiley. Mr. Gillam,
everything okay?
Yes.
Where have you been? I haven't heard from you for days.
There's been a great deal of ground to cover, Ricky. A lot of loose ends to tie.
Yeah, well, you be damn careful. You could be stirring up a hornet's nest.
We're being very careful, Ricky. Very circumspect indeed.
Well, mind you are. Anyway, what are you doing here now?
We need some more information, Ricky.
All right.
Do you want me to leave, sir?
No, stick around, Fawn. All right, George?
By all means. Well then, Ricky, these passports of yours.
Which passports?
The Swiss passports you took with you to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You said you burned them.
Right.
What did you burn them with?
Well, what the hell does it matter?
Steady, Ricky.
Yeah, all right.
Ricky, we have to know the whole truth. Not just the bit you want us to know.
I told you I burned the passports. I didn't fancy the numbers. I reckon they were blown.
What about the British passport? In the name of Poole, was it?
Yeah, that's right, Poole.
Did you buy any other passports from the same source?
Well, why should I? I don't collect the damn things. I just wanted to get out from under.
And what about your little daughter and her mother? You wouldn't want to leave them behind to the tender mercies of a Frenchman, was it?
Yeah.
The one who turned up at Kuala Lumpur saying that you owed money.
Oh, all right, damn you. Yes, I got passports for Danny and her mother. Mrs. Poole, Miss Danny Poole, so what?
Now, why didn't you tell us that before? We would have understood. It's the most natural thing in the world to look after the people one loves. Or perhaps you didn't tell us because you were ashamed.
Why should I be ashamed?
Coming to England to all this VIP treatment, leaving them behind like that. At the mercy of that inquisitive Frenchman. Not a very gallant act, was it, Ricky? Not when you think about it.
Maybe.
Of course, it would be a different matter entirely if you'd burned the British passports and doctored the Swiss passports for Danny and her mother. That would make sense, wouldn't it, Ricky? You could make travel arrangements for them in the name of Poole. Book them on a flight to England, perhaps? Quite openly. So you'd be laying a false trail for London Station, the Russians, whoever it was looking for you. When in fact you had already used the Swiss passports to smuggle your family to somewhere safe. To somewhere like Jakarta, say.
You bastard!
Look out, George!
You leave her alone, dear! Leave her alone!
Very well, Ricky, old son. You just sit quietly and get your breath back. All right? You all right, Mr. Smiley?
Yes, thank you. I don't know where Danny is, or her mother.
You look after your own woman. Leave me to look after mine.
That's enough, Ricky.
What's that? I don't know where they are, Ricky. And I don't want to know, believe me. Just as long as you don't try to communicate with them.
Don't worry.
It shouldn't be for much longer. A week. Less, if I can manage it. Try not to think about it too much.
Penny for them, George.
Hmm? Oh, just going over what Ricky said again.
Oh, which bit exactly? You did most of the talking.
That remark he made about looking after my own woman.
You mustn't let someone like Ricky Tarr get to you.
Tell me, was Tarr referring to anything in particular? Peter?
I'm afraid he was, George. Yes.
I see.
It was a long time ago, before you left the circus, in fact.
You still got as far down the line as that, to the likes of Ricky Tarr.
Take no notice of him, George. He was only trying to get back at you.
Yeah, I realize that. And what did this rumor suggest? Please, Peter.
It was only a rumor.
About Anne?
And Bill Hayden. I'm sorry, George, really.
Yes. Ricky's quite fly, isn't he?
He's bloody unstable. And a congenital liar.
Isn't that a roadhouse up ahead?
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't we stop and have a bite to eat?
If you like.
Everything all right, gentlemen?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
More coffee?
Not for me, thank you.
Sir?
No, I'm fine.
If you'd care to bring me the bill now, please.
Right away, sir.
You know, Peter, the more I think about it, the more I have to admit to a sneaking admiration for our Ricky Tarr.
Huh?
No, seriously. He's taken on London Station and Moscow Center single-handed and fooled them both.
Ricky's a fly little beggar. You said it yourself.
Look, Peter, I think we both know why the Russians want to get their hands on Ricky Tarr.
Oh, yes. To protect their mole inside the circus.
But why, then, are London so anxious to get their hands on Ricky?
Well, Percy seemed to think Tarr is redefecting. At least, that's what he said.
How can he be redefecting when he never defected in the first place?
Well, we know that, George. Percy doesn't.
Why not? If his source in Moscow told him about Tarr's travel arrangements, he must surely have told him Tarr wasn't a defector.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
Not yet, Peter. Not yet.
Your bill, sir.
Oh, thank you. Is there a public telephone I can use?
Outside, by the main door, sir.
Thank you. I promised to phone Mendel.
Oh?
He's trying to trace some of the people who were involved in Operation Testify.
Anyone in particular?
Max Koricek, for one. According to the file, he was Jim Prideaux's babysitter.
Whatever's happened to old Max? I haven't seen him for ages.
No one has. He hasn't worked for the circus since Testify.
Oh, I see. Who else is Mendel after?
Sam Collins.
Sam?
Hmm. He was duty officer the night Jim Prideaux was shot.
That's right. Sam got the push about 3 weeks later for drinking on the premises or something equally stupid.
Amazing, Peter, isn't it? Practically everyone who was involved with Operation Testify is no longer working for the circus.
Including you?
Including me.
Look, let me take care of the bill while you go and phone Mendel.
Very well.
Islay Hotel. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Hello? This is Mr. George. Is Mr. Mendel there?
Oh, hello, Mr. George. Hello. No, he isn't. He's gone to get his car, but he left a message for you.
Yes?
Oh, just a minute. Mr. George?
Yes?
He'll be taking you to Hampstead in the morning. That's why he's gone to get his car, I expect.
Thank you, Mrs. Pope Graham. Thank you very much.
That's the place. Across the road.
Block of flats.
Max Koricek works in the basement. Contract parking.
Yes, there might be some way down there where we can talk.
Oh, if there isn't, bring him back to the car.
And what about you?
Oh, never mind about me. There's always things for me to do. Like sit on that bench back there and read my newspaper.
Okay, Max. Take it away.
Bring Giorgio up next.
Aye. I say, excuse me.
Just a minute.
Any possibility of renting a parking space for a few months?
What sort of car? Hey.
Hello, Max.
What do you do here?
I want to speak with you, Max, in private.
Sure. Sure. We go in the cabin. Oh, Dickie?
Yes?
I just deal with this customer. You take over, huh?
Okay.
In here, please, George. Sit down, please, George. We can talk here.
Thank you.
You want some terrible coffee?
No, thanks. I just want to talk.
Sure. We talk, then.
About Jim Prideaux.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm not in it anymore, Max. Did they tell you?
Nobody don't tell me nothing.
They sacked me. Probably about the same time they sacked you.
What do you do? Steal money?
I don't want them to know I came here, Max. This is private.
Okay. You private, Max private too. Cigarette?
No, thank you.
Me also. Try to give up.
I want to know what happened in Czechoslovakia. I had no part in it, Max. Please believe me.
Sure, George.
I was in Berlin. I knew nothing, absolutely nothing, of the background or the planning for that job.
Planning? Well, that was some planning, George. Some planning.
Jim had some sort of special job to do, didn't he? He asked for you. I know he did.
True. Was special job. Secret job for Czechoslovakia. Jim asked me to babysit.
Ah.
Jim say, take leave. Tell Toby Esterhazy Max got girlfriend trouble in Leeds. Toby say Max always got girlfriend trouble somewhere. He's right.
So Toby knew nothing of Jim's mission?
Nobody don't know nothing. Nobody allowed to know. His special secret job. For control.
For control personally?
Yeah, personal. No one else.
Did Jim say how long this job would last?
3 days. Secret conference in Račići. It's near Brno.
Yes, I know. Who was this conference going to be with?
Don't know. Jim say only to meet him in Brno by football stadium. Max cross over from Austria by van near Mikulov.
How was Jim going?
Plane from Paris to Prague. Train to Brno. Only he was late.
Oh?
True. Miss Rendezvous, make only fall back later.
Did he say why?
No. Say only plans were changed. Now Max must stay out of it. Must drop Jim short of Rendezvous. Go straight to Brno and wait till Monday. Okay?
Okay.
If Jim don't show up by Monday, Max go home, deny everything. Girlfriend trouble in Leeds.
And if Jim does show up?
If Jim show up, Max carry message to control. And only to control. Not to contact Network Agrabat, not to contact Network Plateau, not to contact Circus Residency in Prague. Especially not to contact Residency. Not to contact nobody except control.
And give him Jim's message.
Sure.
What sort of message would it be, did Jim say?
One word. Message would be one word.
What sort of word?
Max don't know. Jim don't come. Yeah, all right. Excuse me, George.
Yes, of course.
What the hell are you doing in there?
Sure. Difficult customer, Dickie. Someone scratched paint on the Rolls Royce.
Oh, God. It wasn't me, honest.
Shh. Don't worry. Leave it to Max, huh?
Okay. Okay.
So,
something obviously happened to Jim on his way to that first rendezvous in Brno.
For sure.
So he made the fallback, and then what?
We drive to Račići Road and find car. Fiat, black, no lights. Jim get out, say something to driver, code word, something. Then get in car and drive up track which go through woods.
And then?
And then Jim don't come back no more.
Max, what happened to Jim?
What the hell?
Now come on, Max. You hear these things. It gets around among you emigres. Come on, Max. You must have heard something.
Yeah, sure. I hear they shoot Jim from behind, in back. He was maybe running, yeah? I hear they put him in prison.
Yes, but how did we get him back? What did it cost?
I tell what it cost, George. It cost Pribble. Pribble's wife. Pokova Mirekov, Pribble's wife, the brother. Colin Keary, also his sister. This was Network Agrabat, now mainly dead. After Network Agrabat come Network Plato. Come lawyer Rapotin. Come Colonel Lankron. Come typist Seva Kriglova, Hanka Pilova, also mainly dead. That's a damn big price for one Englishman with bullet in back, George.
Perhaps it wasn't Jim. Perhaps someone else blew the networks.
What the hell? Why you bother, George? Why you bother?
All right.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure, really.
I've taken the registration number of every car within two blocks. So if one turns up on our tail, we'll know.
Where to now?
Next appointment.
You've already traced them, Collins.
Well, there aren't that many really high-class casinos in town. Two phone calls was all it took. He's at the Rouge et Noir, just off Grosvenor Square.
Well, will it be open yet?
It never closes, does it? Those people never give a sucker an even break.
I'm going to need two more pieces of information fairly soon.
Name them.
One's a firm called Stroll and Medley.
What do they do for a living?
That's what I want to know. There's an invoice from them in the testify file for services rendered. It's a strange piece of unexplained trivia.
That needs explaining.
If possible.
What else?
The present whereabouts of Jim Prideaux.
Full name?
James Sheldon Prideaux.
Any leads?
I'll see if Oliver Lakin can conjure up some relevant background material, but the politicians have rather swept him under the carpet.
Right. We'll split to the Rouge et Noir and I'll start putting out feelers.
Hello, Sam.
Good God.
Can you spare me a few moments?
Of course. We'll go into the office.
Fine.
Well, what do you think of the place?
It's certainly impressive.
And very profitable. Okay, George.
Do you enjoy all this, Sam?
Well, better than selling washing machines, isn't it? So, what can I do for you?
A few memories, bits and pieces, you know.
Like what, for example?
I'd like to talk about the night Jim Prideaux was shot. You were duty officer, weren't you?
Yes. What goes on? Are you writing your memoirs or something?
We're reopening the case.
We? Which we is this?
Just me, with a little help from Oliver Lakin.
Nothing ever changes, does it? Coffee?
No. Yes, please.
Well, and help yourself to a sandwich. I live off them, one of the perks.
No, thanks. I'm happy with just coffee. The record's been filleted, Sam.
I'm not surprised.
There's hardly anything on file. It's a question of talking to the people who are involved.
Help yourself to sugar.
Yes, thanks. I know we talked at the time, Sam, but I never heard the full story.
Okay, George. Let's take it from the top. I just got back from a 3-year stint in Ventiane.
I remember.
I'd hardly walked in the door when suddenly I get this urgent summons to the fifth floor.
From control?
Yes. He wanted me to take over as duty officer for the weekend.
Did he say why?
He said he wanted an old hand on the switchboard in case there was a crisis. Someone who'd been away from head office for some time. I fitted the bill, I suppose.
But he didn't explain why he wanted an outsider on duty.
No. All I knew was that someone was doing a special job, a very special job, in Czechoslovakia, and I was to be the cutout between control and whatever else was going on.
Which meant what, exactly?
Well, whatever came in, a signal, phone call, however trivial, I was to whip it straight up to control. No middlemen, no phone calls, everything person to person.
And where was control?
In his office.
All night?
Yes. Until the news of the shooting came through. Then he just went to pieces. He simply walked out of the building and went home.
What did he say when you gave him the news?
Nothing that made much sense.
Well, he must have said something, surely.
When I asked him about getting you in, he muttered something about you being in Berlin.
Well, he sent me there.
But that was it, more or less.
Hmm.
He just seemed to give up the ghost. I swear to you, George, he aged 1,000,000 years that night.
And he left you holding his baby.
Oh, and how. It was sheer bloody pandemonium. NATO went to red alert, Whitehall was wetting its knickers, and everyone was screaming for information I didn't have. I was denying everything with one hand and trying to call in the top brass with the other.
Which top brass was that?
Well, there was Percy, you, Bill, Roy...
Me?
Yes?
In Berlin? I didn't get the call.
No. Well, I rang Bywater Street. In case you'd got home early.
So, who did you speak to?
Your wife.
Do you recall how the conversation went? Anne's away just now.
I asked for you, and she said you were in Berlin.
That was all?
I asked her whether, by chance, she knew where Bill Hayden was. It was urgent, George. And I heard they were cousins.
They are. What did she say?
She said she wasn't Bill's keeper and rang off.
How did she sound?
Distinctly shirty. Anyway, I was fielding fastballs for about an hour when in walked Bill, white as a sheet.
What time was this?
About 1:15, I should think. He said he'd picked up the story on the ticker tape at his club.
Rather late for that, wasn't it?
For what, George?
A reading club ticker tape.
I wouldn't know. Not my world, is it? Anyway, when he turned up at the circus, I could have kissed him. I put him in the picture pretty damn quick. When I told him Jim Prideaux had been shot in Checkover, he went bananas.
Didn't he know about Jim?
Apparently not.
He must have read it on the wires, surely. The news was out by then.
All I know is he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. He took over the whole thing, firing broadsides all over the place at the Czech embassy.
Sam?
Yes?
Bill was nowhere near his club that night, and you know it.
George,
I... He was at my place when you rang.
No, but...
As soon as you had put the phone down and pushed Bill out, and he rushed straight round to the circus. That's what you really think, isn't it?
Look, George, what
Isn't it? From the shoulder, Sam, please.
In a nutshell, yes.
Thank you, Sam.
Come in. Ah, good morning, Oliver.
George, all well?
Very well. Can I offer you some coffee?
Not just at the moment, thank you.
Do take a seat, Oliver.
Well, how much longer is all this going on, George?
Until we find our mole. That is the object of the exercise, isn't it?
Yes.
I asked you to call in so I could bring you up to date.
Good, good.
Yes. I think we have established the salient facts about Operation Testify, Oliver.
Uh-huh.
We know Control mounted the operation entirely off his own bat.
Indeed.
And we know the operation was betrayed. To the Russians, not to the Czechs.
How do we know that?
It was reported to London Station by one of our own agents.
Hearsay, George, it's pure hearsay.
Well, agreed, Oliver, but worth following up, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, but what will that entail exactly?
If we want to get to the truth of the matter, I have to speak to Jim Prideaux.
Oh.
I'm afraid so, Oliver.
Well, by all means, speak with him, if you can find him.
Ah, yes. There was an oblique reference to him in the file we removed from registry.
I'd rather not know about that.
It seems Percy Allerline passed on an invoice to you from a Messrs. Stroll and Medley for services rendered.
Stroll and Medley.
Messrs. Stroll and Medley specialise in providing supply teachers to preparatory and minor public schools.
Supply teachers?
In this case, a language teacher to Thursgood School, which is just outside Taunton, I believe.
You think that referred to Prideaux?
The service was rendered in May last year.
Yes, the timing is about right.
I thought it worth checking.
What will you do?
Just that. Check it out. Mendel's going to look over Thursgood School. He caught the first train down there this morning.
Lou, that's it!
I don't know
where! Well tackled, Newbold! Aren't you playing, Jumbo?
Please, sir. Well, excuse game. I've had a cold.
We could do with his waiting a scrum, sir, couldn't we?
Damn right, Shrimp. We're getting shoved all... Shoved all over the place. Who's that, Jumbo?
Who, sir?
Over there. Looks like old Solomon Grundy. Who is he?
Don't know, sir.
Please, sir, I think he's something to do with the church.
Church? Shrimp? What church?
Please, sir, our church, sir. I saw him talking to Wells Fargo this morning.
And what did he have to say to the Reverend Spargo, eh?
Don't know, sir. They were just looking at the pew lists, sir.
Our pew lists?
Yes, sir. Thursgood's pew lists. With all the names, sir, where we sit.
Was he now?
Look, I think he's going, sir.
Yes, so he is, Jumbo. So he is. Up to no good, I'll be bound. You see him snooping around here again, you let me know, all right?
Yes, sir.
Sure you'd recognize him again, are you?
Yes, sir.
Colour of hair, Jumbo?
Sort of greyish, sir.
High shrimp.
Sir, 6 foot, sir.
Sir, everyone looks 6 foot to shrimp.
Age, Jumbo, you toad.
91, sir.
There you scored, sir.
Yes?
Mr. Mendel's on the line for you, Mr. George.
Ah, thank you, Mrs. Pope Graham. Put him through, please.
Hang on.
Hello?
Hello, Mendel. Any luck?
It is Prideaux. No doubt about it.
Well done.
He's not even using a false name. Well, what do you want me to do?
I'll come straight down.
There's a train at 4:30. Arrives Taunton around 6:30.
I'll be on that. Can you meet me?
Of course. I've hired a car, White Rover.
Good. And I think you should book a couple of rooms at a local hotel and get an invitation to our friend to visit me there.
Reason for visit?
Leave it open. Just my name, the room number of the hotel, at any time convenient to him.
Okay. See you around 6:30.
Mr. Prideaux!
Eh? Oh, what is it, Trim?
Sir, it's a message for you, sir.
Message?
It's from him, sir. Old Solomon Grundy. He said to run and give it to you, sir.
Did he now?
Should I have said no, sir?
Hmm? No, Shrimp. Must always deliver messages. They might be important.
Sir, I hope it's not bad news, sir.
Well, let's see, shall we?
Is it all right, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, it's from an old friend. It's someone I haven't seen for years.
That's good, sir.
Yes, isn't it?
Can I help you, sir?
Room's up there, are they?
Yes, sir. Who was it you want, sir?
23, second floor, eh?
That's right, at the end of the corridor.
Right.
There is a lift, sir.